It's time for our State Capitol Report with a recap of the top recall election news and the issues that came up during the Republican Party convention in Green Bay over the weekend. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, May 14th. We will also hear from our Wisconsin Public Radio reporters who are covering the four state Senate recall elections coming up after our 7:30 news. If you have a question or a reaction to the State Capitol Report news this week, you can call us at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We start with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio State Government Reporter. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, Joy.
Well, let's just have a quick recap of the primary recall election results and the biggest takeaway, Sean.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in a nutshell, for a race where it at times felt like we were having a competitive primary, the final results on the Democratic side weren't close. I mean, it was Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett all the way. He had about a 58% to 34% margin over Kathleen Falk. And Barrett did well pretty much everywhere. I mean, in Dane County, where Kathleen Falk needed to do well, Barrett doubled her up in Dane County, where she was county executive for 14 years. So, I mean, clearly a sign that the Democratic Party voters solidified around Tom Barrett at the end, and that those, you know, the polls that we were seeing toward the end were accurate, if maybe even undershot his margin of victory. Mm-hmm. Another interesting thing was that on the Republican side, even though there wasn't, you know, a competitive primary, Scott Walker got about 627,000 votes in that primary. And, you know, that was about 50,000 shy of all the Democratic votes, all the votes cast for Democratic candidates combined. So
that means that Governor Walker's supporters are fired up, too.
Yeah. And I mean, they were getting the word out there toward the end of the primary campaign. You'd hear the governor saying, "I've got a primary. Come out and vote for me." You know, from having visited a GOP call center where volunteers were going in and get out the vote calls. They weren't just saying, "Remember to vote June 5th." They were saying May 8th. So this is something that it was organized. It wasn't an accident that you saw so many votes coming out for the governor on that day. But yeah, definitely a sign that Republicans are. We're awake for this one.
Yeah. Does Kathleen Falk's defeat in the primary signal any weakness of the collective bargaining issue as an important issue in this race, or the power of the public employee unions because they backed her and not Tom Barrett?
You know, they spent money on $4 to $5 million on her behalf. Groups, the unions that funded this. A third-party group running ads on Kathleen Falk's behalf. I mean, every candidate for governor was saying, "I want to restore collective bargaining rights." You could look at her results and say the way that she went about it was hard on her. You could also just look at these results and say the most important thing for Democratic voters was got to be Walker in a month. We think this guy's the most electable. You know, that term gets thrown around a lot and means different things to different people. But in this case, it seems like, you know, the party decided that Tom Barrett was the electable one for June. And that was something the Barrett folks were pushing from day one. You know.
And after the primary, the Democrats got together, had breakfast at Mayor Barrett's house, mm-hmm. and the labor unions said we're backing Tom Barrett.
Yeah, there wasn't a big Democrats and labor union rally in Madison, but every labor union came out and said we're going to work. Mm-hmm. We're going to work for Tom Barrett. It's clear choice. Used very strong terms, saying that, you know, we're going to vote for him or that we're going to work for him. And really, the choice for them is pretty stark. There's Scott Walker is going to be on the ballot in June, and that's something that many of them have wanted going back to February of last year.
Yeah. Speaking of labor unions, a very To some surprising, a video was released late last week, in which Governor Walker is saying that he would like to divide and conquer. Please explain.
So this was a documentary that someone was shooting about the economy, the local economy in Janesville. And the documentarian was following efforts to, revive the economy in Janesville, the changing economy in Janesville since GM has moved out of town. And so that's where the vantage point was coming from. And so Scott Walker stopped by to talk to this group of businesses that are working on transforming the economy. One of the business owners there was Diane Hendricks, who, at the time, certainly a Republican supporter, but now we know her as the governor's largest campaign donor. She's given the governor $510,000, more than anyone in Wisconsin history, as far as anyone knows, because the campaign contribution limits are off. So Scott Walker, a governor, it was Governor Walker at the time, had a conversation with her where the cameraman said, "Look, I'm a documentarian, but this isn't going to air for a year." And so here's the conversation that took place between Diane Hendricks and Governor Walker.
Any chance we'll ever get to be a completely red state and work on these unions?
Oh, yeah.
And become a right to work?
Well, in fact, the
what
big thing...
What can we do to help you?
Well, we're going to start in a couple weeks with our budget adjustment bill. The first step is we're going to deal with collective bargaining for all public employee unions.
Right.
Because you divide and conquer.
Divide and conquer. And that was in response to a question, is there any chance that we will ever become a right-to-work state?
Yeah, a completely red state or a right-to-work. And right-to-work is a law that in the states where it exists, I think 24 states, pertains to private sector unions and says it basically bans mandatory union shops in the private sector. Generally, right-to-work states are southern states, western states. There are some midwestern states that do have it, Iowa and most recently Indiana. So it exists in the Midwest as well, but not generally in states with deep union roots. And so it's a very, very touchy issue for labor. And it's something that the governor, we've talked about this recently. He has said it's not something he's interested in pushing for, but hasn't come out and said that he would promise to veto that such legislation if it came to his desk. So this video comes out and the question was raised again of the governor during a press conference at the Republican State Convention over the weekend.
I can tell you unequivocally now, I have no interest in pursuing right-to-work legislation in this state.
No interest in pursuing.
Yeah, and so the same dynamic exists where he's saying, I'm not going to push for it, I have no interest in pursuing it, but you've never heard a promise to veto from the governor. And Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish took questions over the weekend, too. Same thing. Said that there's not interest to do that right now. Legislative leaders have said, we're not going to do that right now. But definitely, absolutely, no veto promise from the Walker administration. The thing that Democrats are seizing on, they're seizing on the right-to-work issue, but what they're really zeroed in on are Walker's comments there at the very end of that clip, divide and conquer, as you can hear from Democratic Party spokesman Graham Zielinski.
What kind of politician wants to divide and conquer a people? What does that show about his character that he even uses that, a phrase? The fact that a public official would use the phrase divide and conquer to refer to what he's going to do to the citizens of a state is enough to remove him from office. I think it shows a lack of character, a lack of honesty, and certainly a lack of candor with the people of Wisconsin.
So is there any indication that this particular story is going to be a game changer in this recall election?
Yeah, I think both sides' bases are so firm. The governor's base is firmly behind him, as is the Democratic base firmly behind Tom Barrett. And there's this very small handful of voters in the middle who are undecided, and the parties are trying to reach out to them. And clearly the path that Democrats have chosen to try to reach out to the middle there is to say that we're going to try to restore civility. And you hear Tom Barrett mentioned frequently, pretty much at every stop. Scott Walker has started a civil war. He likes to mention what the governor said in the phone call with the prank phone call with fake David Koch, where he talks about dropping the bomb. And so now they have another phrase to throw in there, divide and conquer. I mean, it goes along that same message that they are pushing home with the, 3 weeks left in that campaign. Whether it's enough to sway the handful of votes in the middle that would be what it takes to, win the June 5th election, we don't know. I don't know if they know either.
We are talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, about the latest news in state government, primarily the latest from the recall election campaign trail and the Republican Party convention in Green Bay over the weekend. And we're welcoming your input, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. It's going to be a sunny, warm day today with highs mainly in the mid to upper 70s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up after 7:30, we will welcome in Wisconsin Public Radio reporters around Wisconsin who are covering the state Senate recall elections. That's coming up after 7:30. Right now, we're talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. Sean, covering the issues on the gubernatorial recall campaign trail, and also was covering the state GOP convention over the weekend. And Sean, what is the latest besides the divide and conquer video? What other issues are dominating on the gubernatorial campaign trail?
I can tell you what they're trying to push right now. It's a very short campaign. We've got basically a week under the belt now, and we know that, for one, Governor Walker came out pretty early and with assistance from legislative leaders, basically tried to put pressure on Mayor Barrett to say, okay, you don't like the budget because you're always talking about how this budget was devastating and all these things. What would you have done? And that was the basic message that you heard over and over again from Republicans, including Governor Walker, last week.
I mean, if this is a redo, this is not looking ahead. He said he wants to undo what's happened over the last year. He should explain what he'd do. I think the simple reality is the reason he doesn't want to talk about that is he raised taxes.
So what does Barrett say about that?
Well, I mean, Barrett has been very vague on what he would do in terms of how to restore education funding this time around. He said they would make education a priority. But he doesn't go too far beyond that. I mean, it's not like the 2010 campaign where he had, a 30-page plan, budget-related, calling, putting Madison on a diet. Both of these gentlemen are trying to keep the campaign focused on the other one right now. I mean, Barrett wants voters to be looking at the record of Scott Walker. And Governor Walker is trying to get voters to look at, Barrett's record as Milwaukee mayor. Barrett's response is basically, I will prioritize education. The other thing that you heard at the Republican state convention over the weekend, Governor Walker basically doubling down on the biggest promise that he made in the campaign in 2010.
Today, I want to reaffirm to you our commitment to help not the government, but the people of Wisconsin create 250,000 new jobs by 2015. It's a commitment I made in the campaign the first time. It's a commitment I make today. And by 2015, with your help, it's a commitment we'll see fulfilled for the betterment of all the people of Wisconsin.
So he's not giving up on that one.
He is not. He's got 5,900 private sector jobs created since he became governor. He is hinting this week, he seems to believe that revised numbers will bump that up a little bit, revised numbers from March, but we'll find out with the jobs report that's released later this week what happens there. He's not backing down at all, even though Wisconsin is nowhere near on pace to hit that number, and Democrats are using that number in campaign ads already anyways.
Yeah. I mean, the Democrats are also pointing to the Wisconsin having the most job losses in
from March of last year to March of this year. It was last in the nation in terms of jobs, job gains, and it did lose jobs, right?
And meanwhile, Mayor Barrett is going around. I see pictures of him shaking hands of Walker supporters at events or sitting in the backyards of his supporters.
Yeah, it's his neighbor-to-neighbor tour. And he kicked off this tour basically right in Governor Walker's backyard in Wauwatosa.
Wauwatosa is, I think, a community that is up for grabs, if you will. And obviously, Scott has his home here. I live not far from here as well. My wife teaches here. But I want to be the governor of all Wisconsin, so I'm going to go to neighborhoods throughout the state.
And, you know, it really hitting that theme home of civility. We need to talk to each other again. End the Civil War. You know, that is Mayor Barrett's central theme to all this.
I know we have more news from the state Republican convention, including the lack of endorsement in the Senate primary, the U.S. Senate primary. But we have a caller, Freddie in New Berlin, who has a point. Hi, Freddie. Very briefly, please.
Yeah, I was just going to say that what do you think the chances are that this latest remark that Walker intends to divide and conquer, spoken like a true megalomaniac, by the way, are going to have on his chances of being reelected if the FBI investigation, ongoing investigation that has already convicted several of his members of his administration while he was Milwaukee County executive, isn't had an effect to swaying voters anyway? I think that this isn't going to make much of a difference.
Ultimately. All right. Thank you, Freddie. I'm sorry we're limited on time. The John Doe investigation, quick thoughts or analysis, Sean, as to how this might play in the election?
Well, in terms of whether it's kind of some kind of a game changer, I don't know if we can have a game changer that swings large numbers of votes just because of how divided everything is. And so the question is whether the divide and conquer remark, you know, something clicks in undecided voters' minds. In terms of the John Doe, kind of a curious development last week, another person was granted immunity in that investigation, the 12th person to be granted immunity. And it's David Halbrooks, who is an attorney who has done work for Democrats. I just a little searched through our archives, and we've quoted him when he was representing Democrats in campaign-related issues. So nobody's quite sure what to make of that.
Thanks, Freddie, for the call. We need to get in the news from the Republican convention on the U.S. Senate race. Sean, maybe we can just kind of clip through these before our news break.
So what the news was is the Republicans were going to try to see if they could endorse one of the four candidates running for U.S. Senate. And under their rules to get the endorsement, you have to hit 60% of all delegates. The short of it is that nobody got there. And the favorite, if you look at opinion polls right now, is Governor Thompson. He made a pitch that he's basically the guy that can win it for him in November.
I've delivered major victories for conservatives in Wisconsin and across this country. I'm battle tested. I'm ready for this fight.
But Thompson, at least in this delegates race, was knocked out in the second round of balloting. And the way it works is they all four start on the ballot. If nobody hits 60%, they knock the lowest vote getter off, move on to the next round. And so Thompson was, you know, went in with high expectations and certainly, you know, didn't get what he was hoping for, what his supporters were hoping for. The first person to be knocked off the ballot was Eric Hovde, another person people were thinking maybe would do well at this convention. He got knocked off in the first round, and he was downplaying what it meant, said it won't change his approach to this campaign.
I'm not a career politician. I'm a business guy who wants to be a citizen legislator. What you have is Mark Newman, who's bussed people in, and he's been doing, you know, been organizing this since back last August. You have Jeff Fitzgerald, who's the Speaker of the House, and his brother's the Senate Majority Leader. So they have the support of most of the assemblymen and state senators. And you got Tommy, who's a four-time governor. So, you know, I never expected to win this thing.
So he says he's, you know, it's not going to change his approach, and he's been running a lot of ads. Be interested to see in next Marquette poll that comes out how he's doing after this ad blitz. His own internal polls, which you always have to take with a huge grain of salt, show him doing pretty well, but we'll see what it looks like for him. Mark, he mentioned the other candidates there. Mark Newman was sort of the wild card in all this, in that in the first round of balloting, he had some counties where he was just doing tremendously well. And it's because Mark Newman put a lot of work into getting in focusing on this convention. And so he wanted everybody to look at that first round of balloting when they were all on the ballot, and Newman came up on top.
Well, I think the first ballot tells a story. That's when all four of us were on, like it will be on August 14th. We won that ballot by a 2-1, and I think you see the strength of our grassroots support all across the state.
All right. And the winner, though, got 50-plus percent, was Jeff Fitzgerald, who actually a lot of people said that they liked his speech at the convention where he talked about stuff that he did during the budget repair bill fight.
Well, I've been given that speech. It's just a lot of people haven't been showing up. That's the problem. But no, it's you know, it's an easy speech to give for me because it comes from the heart, and it's something that I went through with a lot of my colleagues. And I think until you've gone through something like we've been through in the last year and a half, it's just easy. It's easy and it flows. And I think the sincerity of it is what helped me kind of propel to the win tonight.
But again, no formal endorsement.
No formal endorsement, and whether this changes the math of this race, you know, don't know. Fitzgerald is still fairly broke and trailing in the polls, and a couple of these candidates, a few of them are very wealthy, and, you know, Tommy Thompson certainly is still Tommy Thompson, so that's going to be a very competitive primary.
Well, thank you, Sean. Sean stays with us as our state capitol report continues. We'll also take a look at the four state senate recall elections that are coming up. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Our state capitol report continues in this half hour with a focus on the four state senate recall campaigns. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:36 on this Monday, May 14th. Our state government reporter, Sean Johnson, stays with us throughout this half hour, and we will also hear from our Wisconsin Public Radio reporters who are covering these state senate races. We also welcome your input, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And before we welcome in our first reporter, Sean, maybe you can just give us an overview as to the political importance of these Senate recall races.
Well, right now the Senate is split 16-16. It was 17-16 in favor of Republicans, but Pam Galloway, one of the senators who is facing recall, decided to step down. So it is split exactly down the middle right now, and you basically have co-leaders of the Senate in Scott Fitzgerald for Republicans and Mark Miller for Democrats. So if Democrats pick up one of these seats, they are in the majority, at least until November's elections. And, you know, if Republicans hold, then that puts them in a better place going into November.
Well, let's welcome in our first reporter, Gilman Halstead, a Wisconsin Public Radio, Madison-based reporter who is covering the Senate's 13th district race, which is the one targeting Republican State Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald. Good morning, Gil.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. So tell us who is running against Senator Scott Fitzgerald?
Lori Compass from Fort Atkinson, who is a photographer and freelance writer, is running. And she initially did not get a lot of support from the Democratic Party itself because the party had was not really thinking about challenging Scott Fitzgerald because he is he's been in power there in that district for a long time. He's been in the legislature for 17 years, and they didn't, I think the party thought that it was an unwinnable race, but Lori Compass decided that on her own that she really thought that he was the leader of what happened, and that he really needed to be challenged. So she got a bunch of volunteers together and got her name on the ballot, and actually did, might say, surprisingly well in the primary. Although I think it should be pointed out that she pretty much got what I think is the Democratic base in that district.
It's a very conservative district.
Right, and she got about the same vote total that the last Democrat who ran against Fitzgerald in that district got, and he won that race in 2010 with twice as many votes as the Democratic opponent.
Yeah, and this race was in the news, at least the Madison-based Wisconsin State Journal ran a piece
right.
yesterday on this where Senator yep. Fitzgerald was questioning whether Lori Compass was really behind this recall effort, thinking
right.
perhaps it was her husband instead?
Yeah, I did see that, and I don't have any real inside information on that. I was at her her victory party primary night in Fort Atkinson, and it was a small group of about 50 people who were very enthusiastic. I don't think I met her husband there, although I'm sure he was there, but it didn't. I mean, I didn't see any evidence to support that, but I mean, I think it's an argument that not only Scott Fitzgerald has been using, but Governor Walker, that these candidates are really just being supported by unions mainly, and I think maybe that's what Scott Fitzgerald is trying to suggest in this case, because her husband is a professor at UW-Whitewater, and because he's a professor, he's sort of, you would...
Yeah.
I think people will soon be associated with the union side of things.
And very briefly, Gil, there is also a Libertarian candidate who will be on the ballot.
I think it's the same, maybe the same one that was on the ballot in 2010, who got a very small amount of the vote. I don't think that's going to play a big role. But because Lori Compass has such an uphill climb, you know, anything that's going to take away votes for her, she tries to get out, you know, more than the Democratic base in that district, it probably will make it more difficult.
Thanks, Gil, very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Gilman Halsted, Wisconsin Public Radio, a reporter based in Madison, covering the Senate's 13th district race between Republican Senator Scott Fitzgerald, the incumbent, and his challengers, Democrat Lori Compass and Libertarian Terry Virgil. And we will, by the way, be talking with all of the Senate candidates, or at least invitations went out to all of the Senate candidates. And we have confirmations from Libertarian Terry Virgil and Democrat Lori Compass for next week. I believe they are going to be on Monday, May the 21st. But as they say, check your local listings. Let's welcome in our next reporter who is standing by, who is covering the Senate's 21st district race, which the incumbent is Republican Senator Van Weingard. And joining us is Heather Asianbi, who is a reporter for the Patch Online News Service. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Heather. Thanks for joining us. So what... just describe for us this recall race of Senator Van Weingard's.
Well, Senator Weingard is on his first term. He defeated John Lehman back in November of 2010, and now John Lehman is challenging him during the recall. Randy Brandt, who used to, I believe he was the publisher of the Journal Times, actually filed the recall petitions against Senator Weingard, primarily for his stance on public unions. So as you can imagine, here in Racine County, a lot of the public unions are endorsing Senator Lehman, or former Senator Lehman, for the seat. But that's not to discount the support that Senator Weingard has throughout the county, including into the more western areas of the district, which tend to lean a little bit more conservative.
Mm-hmm. The polling in this race so far shows it to be a close one, though?
It's very close. The last polls I saw, which actually were from the daily costs, they had them almost in a dead heat, only separated by like 3 or 4 points with a 3 or 4 point margin of error.
Mm-hmm.
So it is. It does seem to be a dead heat here.
All right. Thanks very much, Heather, for being with us.
Thank you.
Heather Asiyanbi is a reporter for the Patch Online News Service covering the Senate's 21st district race between Senator Van Wongard and Democrat John Lehman. And we have both of those candidates in the Senate recalls set up for our series of candidate forums next week. I think they're on Tuesday, the 22nd. And Sean Johnson stays with us. Sean, this is the particular race, at least from polling that I have seen, that the race is the one that might be the best chance for Democrats to pick up a seat.
Yeah, if you look at the early polling, mm-hmm. it's funny. I remember in 2010 when you know a lot of these same seats were competitive, but they were at the time held by Democrats. John Lehman's name was the first one to kind of get out there. You heard rumblings that he was in trouble, that he could be going down in this wave. He wasn't the only one. But here you have in 2012 the same seat being mentioned where Van Wongard could be in trouble for Republicans. And really it fits the character of that seat, which has changed hands many times over the years. And, you know, going back to a recall many years ago for completely different reasons. It's just been a seat that's constantly switching hands, and where the local economy is pretty tough. You can see why in some ways.
We will welcome in a couple of more of Wisconsin Public Radio reporters who are covering the state Senate recall races. And Sean Johnson, our state government reporter, will stay with us. And we also welcome your input, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Do you live in any of these Senate districts that are going to be having a recall election on June the 5th? What are your thoughts? What are the issues that are most important to you? Checking our weather forecast for today, it's going to be sunny and warm with highs mainly in the mid to upper 70s. Some isolated showers possible tonight in northern Wisconsin, otherwise partly cloudy with lows in the upper 40s to low 50s. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up after 8 o'clock, if you're into vampires, you'll want to stay tuned. We are going to be talking about the allure, the appeal, the popularity of vampires in popular culture with Dark Shadows, the movie, opening this weekend. Just one of many examples. That's coming up after 8 o'clock. Right now we are talking recall politics with Wisconsin Public Radio's Sean Johnson and reporters from around the state who are covering the state Senate recall elections. Let me clarify that we are holding candidate forums all week next week here on this program. All of the candidates running for state Senate have been invited to participate in a half-hour forum to answer your questions next week, May the 21st through the 25th on The Joy Cardine Show. And we have confirmations from most of the candidates. We are still awaiting word from Senators Scott Fitzgerald and Senators Terry Moulton and the candidate, Republican Representative Jerry Petrosky. Those are the three that we are still awaiting confirmation from. Otherwise, all next week you will hear from all of the candidates who are running for state Senate in the recall race. There will be a debate that is also next week between two of the candidates in the 21st district race. That is the one between Senator Van Wongard and Democrat John Lehman. That debate is going to be on Thursday the 24th at Mount Pleasant Village Hall, which is co-sponsored by the Patch Online News Service and WGTD Radio. All right, well, let's move on. Let's welcome in Rich Kramer, who is our Wisconsin Public Radio reporter in Eau Claire, and he is covering the Senate's 23rd district race. And Rich, good morning.
Good morning, Joy, and good morning, Sean.
And what is tell us the players or the candidates in the 23rd district?
Well, this is a matchup of kind of like a rematch of 2008. This is between State Senator Terry Moulton, a Republican from Chippewa Falls, and we've got Kristen Dexter, who is a Democrat, former state assemblywoman from Eau Claire. And in 2008, these two squared off. At the time, Terry Moulton was the holder of the 68th Assembly District seat, which covers part of Eau Claire and then a little bit to the south. And Kristen Dexter challenged him and won. And that was a pretty close election. That was only it was less than 300 votes that she won by. And in the 23rd State Senate District itself, it's really determined by turnout, from what I'm told. It's flipped back and forth over the, in 4-year increments, I guess, pretty much, from Republican to Democrat control. And it'll be a very close race, I think, come June 5th.
So that's a swing district, Rich.
Yeah, it is. And it will be until, we'll see what happens when the Republican redistricting happens. There's a chance that Dexter could win the seat, but then when the new maps take effect for her, when she's up for re-election, then it could be a little less swingy, right?
That's true. The redistricting may change things. So what is the most important issue there when it comes to the recall race?
Well, it seems like the collective bargaining thing has really been downplayed, but of course that's the catalyst that got this whole thing rolling. The unions definitely are funding Kristen Dexter. She's got support from a few of them, and she's got some PACs that are labor-oriented. But Dexter claims that the economy and jobs is pushing this, and also Moulton's support. He actually was one of the co-authors or co-introducers of the bill that repealed the state's equal pay law. And she's claiming those things for the recall. Moulton claims that this is about, him sticking to his guns and doing what he said, is that these people trying to recall him just want to bring back the big spending and big taxing policies from the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a mixed bag, but basically Dexter is saying that this is the Republicans. This is because Terry Moulton and the Republicans promised all these things: better economy and more jobs, and they've failed to deliver.
But, all right.
Thank
you very much, Rich. Those issues sound familiar.
Yeah. It seems like we were talking just less than a year ago about recall in my district, or my area, I guess.
Yeah. Well, Rich Kramer, thanks very much. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in Eau Claire, covering the Senate's 23rd district race. We have Democrat challenger Kristen Dexter set to join us for a candidate forum on Thursday, May the 24th. I believe at 7 o'clock, and we have invited Republican Senator Terry Moulton and are waiting to hear back from him. So our candidate forums are next week for the state Senate. By the way, Ben Marins, At Issue with Ben Marins, will be inviting in the candidates for governor and lieutenant governor during his afternoon hours next week for candidate forums. Now joining us, Glenn Mulberg. He is Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in Wausau. He is covering the Senate's 29th district race. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning, Sean.
Yeah, good to have you with us, Glenn. So set the stage. Who's running in your district, the Senate's 29th district?
The two parties probably have their strongest possible candidates vying for this seat. Both of them are veteran legislators. They both have very strong bases of support. The Democrat Donna Seidel has been in the Assembly for 8 years. She's the Assembly Minority Leader. She spent 16 years before that as the Marathon County Clerk of Courts. She was an investigator for the District Attorney's Office, and she started her professional life as a Wausau police officer. So as a Democrat, she's got a law and order background. She was initially going to face freshman Republican Senator Pam Galloway, who defeated Senate Majority Leader Russ Decker back in 2010. But the whole recall campaign was upended when Senator Galloway unexpectedly resigned her seat and was replaced by veteran Republican Assemblyman Jerry Petruski of the 86th Assembly District. Observers thought that Seidel may have had the edge with Pam Galloway just because she'd been in office for so long. But with Petruski in the race right now, he's ahead in the polls. I think the last one showed him with a 6-point margin in favor of him. Very popular legislator. He's lived in the area his whole life. He's a former ginseng and dairy farmer. He's been serving in the Assembly since 1998, served in the Army Reserve, and when he was a factory worker, he was even a former member of the Brotherhood of Electrical Workers.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, you know, we've got two of the strongest candidates that either party could offer going head-to-head in this district, and Petruski looks like he's got the edge. Before I forget, I want to mention that there is going to be a debate between these two. I'll be moderating it next Wednesday, May 23rd, and Wisconsin Public Radio is one of the sponsors, and we've got panelists from various media outlets, television, newspaper, and radio. I think it's the only joint appearance between the two of them, unless something happened over the weekend that I don't know about.
All right. Well, very briefly, Glenn, what's the first question you're going to ask, because it's the most important issue in the race?
We haven't decided that yet. What happens is we get all the panelists together, we come up with lists of possible questions, and then we kind of hash it out and figure out what the order is going to be. So I don't know.
I'm just teasing. All right. Thanks very much, Glenn, for being with us.
All right. Thanks, Joyce.
Glenn Moberg, Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in Wausau, covering the Senate's 29th district race. Boy, lots going on. Sean Johnson, in our final minute, I mean, at least early polls show that one of these four races could be a pickup for Democrats, and the other three not so likely. Or what do you say?
Yeah, I mean the first poll that was released made it look that way. I think three of the seats are competitive by the numbers,
mm-hmm.
And those are the ones that have gotten the most attention from the Democratic Party. The Compass Fitzgerald seat is the least competitive by the numbers. I mean, it's just the strongest Republican seat, maybe the most interesting from just a drama perspective. You have the more truly grassroots type recall over there against the leader of the state Senate, who was, you know, so prominent in getting the collective bargaining bill through. So, you know, but this year they're definitely flying under the radar, the state Senate recalls, compared to last summer where the nation was watching these. This year they're watching the Walker recall.
Right. And in our final minute, do you know of anything on the agenda this week that you'll be chasing?
I imagine it's just a lot of campaign busyness here for the next few weeks.
Well, I trust we will talk with you again next week. Thanks very much, Sean.
Thanks, Joy.
Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. And a reminder, we will have these candidate forums for state Senate all next week from May 21st through May the 25th. And that will be from 7 until 8 here on this program. Ben Marins will be talking with, or at least inviting, the candidates for governor and lieutenant governor to be with him. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. That's right. I think we still had you scheduled.